In our Ideas Matter segment this week, we take time just about every week to check in with state humanities councils in our seven state region. So this week, we check in with the New York Council for the Humanities to learn about the practice and process of editorial illustration. How cool is that? Alexandra Zygmunt is the art director of the New York Times opinion section. We're going to speak with her about how politics and history are represented in editorial art. In addition to her work at the Times, she is one of the New York Council for the Humanities' new public scholars, and we welcome her to Ideas Matter on the Roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
A great pleasure to have you on the program. You've been in this job as art director and designer for the New York Times opinion section since 2011. How does one go about becoming a art director for a major newspaper such as the New York Times?
Well, I actually went on quite a circuitous route. I think a lot of people come from mostly a design background, but I was coming from a background in philosophy and theory and art history, which I studied at Stanford. And from there, I went into museums kind of as a curator and as an administrator, and started working as an in-house designer for a bunch of organizations. And from there, kind of went into design more deeply. And so now at the Times, it's a wonderful combination of all the things I've done in my past, both in terms of thinking very deeply and philosophically about imagery, and also designing the text that accompanies the imagery.
When you look at the imagery itself, so which comes first, obviously? So how do you work with those preparing the text? And are you able to operate separately, or do you operate always in conjunction with?
It's, I think, a bit of both. Definitely, it's closely in conjunction with the editors and with the text. But I like to think very much about this relationship between the text and the image. So, of course, I'll get an article or many articles at the beginning of a week. I will read them closely and begin to brainstorm visually about how the core ideas and concepts within that article can become visualized within a visual language instead of a verbal one. So in effect, it involves a translation between languages. And then from there, what I'll do is reach out to illustrators all over the world and try to get a good match between an artist and a topic. And usually that match happens in mood, in tone, in style, in the concepts that that artist is interested in representing. And from there, you know, they'll create an original work of art that hopefully can both elucidate and clarify the article and also stand alone as a strong work of art.
Is this mostly a Sunday affair?
No, actually, so I work primarily on the Sunday Review section, which is a Sunday affair, but I work in a team of three curators, and between all of us, we work on both the daily op-ed page and the editorial page, and then also the Sunday section. So it's really a huge amount of illustration and artwork that we commission. It's about 35 illustrations per week.
And with a really quick turnaround.
Yes, yeah. You know, oftentimes, you know, last night, for example, we got a unexpected article on the Zika virus. And
yes.
So that I got that around 8 p.m. last night, and I had to have artwork ready for that for 11 a.m. this morning. So in that, you know, in these situations, it's very important to know the time zones of all the artists that you're working with, so that you can collaborate with somebody that can get something done extremely fast. So I think the tightest deadline I've ever had to commission on was 1 hour, and I guess the longest deadline that I have is usually 5 days. It's pretty exciting.
It sounds exciting. Let's talk about some specific scenarios.
Yeah.
What's mass shootings, for example, a topic that is certainly very relevant, and how do you visually take on a subject like that and do it where it is saying something? Obviously, it has a reverence, it's in good taste, and yet also gets a point across.
Yeah, you know, mass shootings, it's been a very interesting topic for illustration because, first of all, it's been recurring so much in the news. And so as a curator, you begin to see patterns of how people represent this event or these events, what the kind of visual language that they're using. One of the best examples that I found recently in terms of visualizing this topic was by a French artist named Alexis Beauclair, and he created a very minimal, simple representation of the psychology of mass shooters. It was for an article called "What Makes a Shooter Do It." So it was pondering the, you know, the circumstances that create this psychology that would lead to an event like this, and to depict this, he did a very simple drawing of a face using very minimal line, and he replaced the eyes, nose, and mouth of this face with the barrels of guns. And so you get this extremely disturbing image, sort of gaping image, that creates a sense of fear and foreboding, but also kind of taps into to what the psychology of a killer might be like. And it's done with a minimum of line. And to me, that image is so arresting. It becomes very powerful. And it's the type of article that a photograph can't quite capture in the same way, because essentially it's talking about something abstract and invisible. And I think that's where editorial illustration is so strong, in that it can represent, you know, the abstract, the invisible, the philosophical, the psychological, all things that aren't quite tethered to reality in the same way that a photograph would be. So it gives much more freedom in terms of what you can represent.
A visual metaphor.
Yeah.
Talking
about that image, the one by Alexis Beauclair on the shooters, I actually come from a background of studying Magritte. That's how I became interested in visual metaphor and in editorial illustration, was studying surrealist painting. And what I think is so interesting about this image I just described, with the barrels replacing the eyes, is that it reminds me of a classic Magritte image called The Rape, in which he replaced the face of a woman with the body of a woman. So in effect, you know, the belly button becomes the nose, the nipples become the eyes, and so you get this strange hybrid object, which makes us think about women and their faces in a completely different way. And in this image of the mass shooter, you have a similar technique, but now, you know, we're in contemporary times. And so these crossovers between fine art and illustration, to me, become really interesting to see how artists that are working now are using similar techniques to, you know, surrealist painters or all these other artists that have worked in the past, and to see the crossovers between fine art and illustration.
How much do you think that readers, how much time do you think they spend looking? I mean, obviously you have dissected this as you would have to do. And for readers, how long do you think they are spending with that image to dissect it, to understand it, and to realize its context?
Yeah. It's something that I think about a lot and that I wonder about. You know, we have statistics about how much time readers are spending on individual articles, but we don't have the data on how long they're looking at the image. And that is something in the future that I would like to do more research on. I would guess that it really differs for each person, and it really differs for each image. We do get a lot of letters in from readers about the imagery that we run, usually very positive. And so that, to me, is an indication that people are responding to this imagery, that it does have a strong effect, and that it does make people think more deeply about the articles that they're reading. But again, I don't have that data yet. All I have is letters and just a general sense that people are looking at it and processing it.
And paying attention. Now for my awkward question, which is because here's something I think about a lot. When you're in a business like we're in a media, and you're doing something that very few that a lot of people used to do, and now not many people are doing, you wonder, okay, you know, if not here, where else are you going to do this kind of thing? You have to think about that as well.
Yes, I do think about that, especially because, you know, the job that I'm doing right now is so extremely specialized.
Yes.
At the same time, though, I do think about curating at a newspaper. It's very similar to curating at a museum. It's a similar type of activity, except you're doing layout on a printed page rather than the manipulation of physical artworks in a gallery space. So I think, you know, maybe I've comforted myself thinking that I can make that kind of translation between being a curator at a newspaper to being one in the gallery. But I actually feel I still feel very optimistic about the future of newspapers, the future of print, and I think that we're making a lot of interesting we're going on an interesting path in the digital realm, and I think that illustration has an interesting history or an interesting future on a digital platform. So I think that there's a lot of work to do there in terms of using animation, using video, and trying to find different ways of using these images.
Alexandra Zygmunt has been an art director and designer for the New York Times opinion section since 2011. She is also a part of the New York Humanities Public Scholars Program, which you can find out at nyhumanities.org/public-scholars. Alexandra, thank you very much for being with us this
morning.
Thank
you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.